Anime Manga Podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by Audible.com. With over 100,000 audiobooks, including some New York Times bestsellers, Audible is your one-stop shop for all your audio electronic literature needs. Go to audibletrial.com/deathsdoorprods to sign up for a free 14-day trial and to get yourself a free audiobook. That is audibletrial.com/deathsdoorprods. While we don't have audiobooks, we do have t-shirts. So go to deathsdoorprods.com/store and check some of them out, including the t-shirt that was spawned from this very podcast, the Because Japan shirt. We are always accepting shirt design ideas, so if you guys have any design ideas you think we would like, then please post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums, or send them to bovie1@deathsdoorprods.com. If you have art, that's even better. Priority will be given to shirts that are based off Death Store Prods, like jokes or references or something, but if you just have a design that you think is cool, please don't hesitate to send it our way. If you don't feel like buying anything from us, just feel like helping out some dying children, then please go to deathstoreprods.com/extralife and donate, or join the team and help us fundraise. We are trying to raise $1,000 to help Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and all proceeds donated go directly to those hospitals. And all donations are tax deductible, so if you're into that, it's good for you. So yeah, go to deathstoreprods.com/extralife and donate or join help us fundraise. Every penny helps. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joe McDay, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Pachatron.
Hello.
So yeah, I only have one thing to talk about this week, so I guess I'll go first. I have read a couple chapters of Geppetto.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I've been kind of busy over the past couple weeks, and so I haven't gotten a chance to watch or read any anime or manga, really. But I will next week. I will have something to talk about next week. But yeah, so Geppetto, it's set in the far-off future of Another Fucking Takes Place. And apparently humans had developed a bunch of cyborgs. And I guess the singularity happened and robot apocalypse. Only not really, because there was like a cyborg uprising, but the humans managed to fight them all off and get them all underground and fuck it. But there's this one doctor, Dr. Geppetto, who was the guy who like kind of started all this shit. He had designed an android. Or a cyborg, whatever it's called. And he just kind of left it there. It was in a tube, it was in stasis or something, and one day some people found it, and it got out and went crazy. That's as far as I got in the comic. It was two chapters in. After the prologue chapter. So, weirdest thing about this is, like, the panel layout. So, with most manga, the panels usually take up, like, the entire page. Like, you know, like from page to page, like, from left side of the page to right side of the page, it's just panels. With this one, it'll have, like, three panels on the page, and just white space behind it. And, like, a panel, and then, hey, people are walking everywhere, and behind it, nothing. And then another panel, and hey, people walking everywhere, and then nothing. And a panel with an explosion, and nothing behind it. So the art was really weird. And it was also all in color. It was probably the weirdest thing.
That is a bit weird. It shows, like, a bit of extra work, but color isn't generally the thing you want to focus on.
No, the comic would probably, if you took all that work to put in the colors, you could have taken that work out of the colors and put it into, like, actually having stuff happening on the pages. Yeah, it's a weird series. Probably not going to read any more of it, but it was something that sounded really interesting at the time when I looked it up. It sounded really cool. But unfortunately, it didn't hold my interest at all. It was just kind of bleh.
Yeah, sometimes I always find that manhwa is a kiss, which is what that is.
Yeah, I know.
In case you hadn't clued into that part from the reading left to right and all that. But there, it's a very sort of, it's a different style of writing. They put a lot of weight on the space in between events.
Oh, but like, it's, I've read other manhwa, and like, aside from the reading left to right thing and the certain like certain artistic tendencies, it was pretty much just manga. Like, even the page layout was very similar. This wasn't similar to manhwa. or manga. It was just nothing. It was really weird. It was like the entire page was three panels that easily could have, like, with the panel size that it was, you could have easily fit 12 panels on a page. Instead, they just picked three, and they just had nothing happening behind it. It was like everything was happening in some weird void of nothing.
Perhaps there is an artistic reason behind that.
It's probably a really pretentious one.
Most artistic reasons are.
That's why they're called artistic reasons. I just said autistic reasons. But yeah, so Geppetto, it was kind of eh. Moving on to more interesting stuff. Bobby Wan.
Alright, so I watched an episode of Guilty Crown. I don't know what episode it was, but it wasn't in chronological order of what I had just watched. So basically a bunch of time skip by for me. So basically in this episode, there's been an outbreak of the virus, there's a quarantine going on, and the high school's included in it. Guy's... Well, spoiler alert, guy's dead.
Oh, snap!
And basically there's a question of whether the Undertakers are actually going to continue existing. And then government-funded hooligans attack the school's culture festival because they decide to have a culture festival despite the fact they're being quarantined. In fact, because they're being quarantined to raise everybody's spirits.
Yeah, I mean, if you're being quarantined, what's better than maid cafes?
Exactly.
I know maids raise my spirits.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, and something
has
changed.
In this case, spirit means penis.
The spirit is my penis. But yeah, I can't ever remember the main character's name. But basically his powers changed a bit, so he can now, like, take out people's voids and hand it to them. Instead of knocking them unconscious and taking the void for himself. And there's not yet any indication of what his limit is on this. And in fact, in this episode, he does have two voids out at once. The girl in the wheelchair, he takes out her void, which is basically power legs, which let her run around and fly and kick really hard.
If you get it, it's a...
And then, of course, he takes out Inori's void, which is the awesome sword, which lets him fight against mechs.
Okay, so yeah, just... Been a while since I watched Guilty Crown, so the void's just like he... It's when he, like, reaches into somebody's chest and pulls out a weapon, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's not always a weapon, but...
Reaches in and pulls out gear. It pulls out loot.
Yeah, it's sort of an item based off of their spirit or personality or something.
Is Danger Skill alone here? Take this. Da-na-na-na.
But yeah, sort of. Originally in the series, when he takes someone's void, it knocks them unconscious and gives them amnesia. Very brief amnesia, just of like the moment when he draws out the void, and maybe an hour or so around that. And you know, he's the only one who can actually use the void. Well, now he's able to like take the voids and hand them to people. Including the people who he pulled it out of, because they are no longer knocked unconscious.
Okay.
So now he's been outed as, you know, a super-powered mech fighter to his entire school.
In which case, he gets all the pussy.
He did have a bit of a rock star moment when everyone was cheering, and he and the wheelchair girl were just, like, back-to-back posing, like, yeah!
It's like, yeah, I can push it out of your chest and fight with it.
But then they found out that, you know, the entire area is going to be sealed off for the next whatever number of years to let the virus kill everything off.
That's going to be a damn for other things. It's like, hey guys, I'm a rock star. I'm a rock star. And guess what? The government's going to leave you to die. Worship me. I am your messiah.
Well, I'm figuring this can only go one direction. Full-blown rebellion, where he's taking voids out of all the students and just handing it to them and being like, here you go.
Just creating an army of weird chest weapons.
pretty much. And I will imagine.
But it really sucked for those guys who just, like, he pulls something out and it's just, like, a piece of shit. I was like, hey, you get a gun, you get a sword, you get awesome power legs, you get a wristwatch.
It's always on perfect time.
Yeah, you can hard boil eggs. For those who get that reference.
But yeah, I can only see this going one direction, and that's, yeah, a large-scale rebellion, which is very likely because it's the show is funded by Pizza Hut, and they're all about funding rebellions.
Wait, what? It's funded by... Seriously?
Yeah, them and Code Geass. It's only a matter of time before Pizza Hut starts funding real rebellions.
Seriously, like... It's like Guilty Crown, brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Well, they don't ever say, like, brought to you by Pizza Hut, but it's... product placement to a huge degree. Like, I'm sure you remember in Code Geass, CC was, like, always wanting pizza, and she always ordered it from Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I can barely remember Code Geass. I watched, like, two episodes of that.
Oh, well, in both these shows, there's quite a few times where it's like, Pizza Hut!
Yeah, it's like, with their unbeatable prices and their new family value deal, you can't go wrong.
Well, they don't do stuff like that, but there's a lot of product placement, and I think it's a lot less in Guilty Crown, but it's in your face in Code Geass.
Yeah, it's just like, so then if you find out that there was like a series that had product placement from Pizza Hut before that one, it's like they're going into rebellion while eating a stuffed crust pizza. It's like, for the Empire! Add new delicious stuffed crust pizza, only available at Pizza Hut.
But like,
now with online ordering.
In Code Geass, they use Pizza Hut ingredients, and they have a mech to make the world's biggest pizza.
What?
They use a mech to make the world's biggest pizza.
That seems really out of character for Code Geass.
No, it's a school festival thing, and then it quickly becomes pointlessly dark.
What, did just use the pizza dough and, like, smother someone to death with it?
I forget what happens in that episode, honestly.
It involves nuclear weapons.
They cook the pizza with nuclear weapons?
No. I may be splicing two parts together, but eventually the mech used to make the pizza was built by one of the girls in the class, and she has a sort of psychotic grudge against Zero. And eventually, she ends up trying to set off a nuke.
I think that's later on, but it is the same mech.
Well, yeah, it uses the same mech in everything.
Oh, good lord. Like, that is...
That's probably splicing things together.
Like...
Oh, yeah, and she honestly later gets, like, a huge obsession with setting off this weapon of mass destruction.
That is needlessly dark.
And then she eventually... does, in fact, set off the weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
In order to try and kill one person. And she fails.
But she makes sure to put lead shielding over every Pizza Hut in the area.
No, everyone dies.
I didn't say they live. I said they save the Pizza Huts. A Pizza Hut can stand without having people in it.
So anyways, I guess moving on. I'm just going to call this by its English title. Total Eclipse.
Okay.
More mechs, only in a kind of boring story.
Oh, wow. Boring mechs. That's...
Although, I will say, the intro sequence has a bit of an interesting animation style. That's the only really good thing I can say about this show. It's one of those ones that looks like it might grow on you, but it might just be a giant, you know, war is hell message.
Yeah, but... You know, things
with girls.
But things can grow on you and still be terrible, like fungus in Smallville. Like that show kind of grew on me, but it was still kind of shit. So for all you know, this show could still grow on you, and it would still be a piece of shit. It's like, I can't stop watching!
But anyways, yeah, basically, Earth is being invaded, or has... We start off by seeing the Battle of the Moon is when these things are first seen, but in the current time period, Earth is in a long battle, and not much of it is left. Pretty much Japan and a little bit of Asia.
It's usually the way.
Against what are referred to as betas. Those are beings of extraterrestrial origin that are an adversary of mankind. Yes, they cut out a lot of the letters, but beta.
Yeah, like, if they had a letter, it'd be Batome. Which I think sounds actually a bit better. It's like, oh no, we got Batomes coming in!
Well, no. Beings of extraterrestrial origin that are an adversary of mankind.
Yeah, I leave out, like, I leave out the ofs, the r's, and the that's. So it would be beings extraterrestrial origin adversary mankind.
Batome. Batome.
Why are you putting an what are you putting a may at like may at the end? Betoam.
This is not the time to argue about syntax. Continue.
Toam. Okay. So we skip ahead to this training academy with a bunch of teenage girls where they're training soldiers that are apparently only teenage girls. I swear to God, there's not a single fucking male student at this military academy.
But isn't that always the way, again? Like, Japan's the only one left, only girls can fight it.
But there's male soldiers. There's tons of them.
Men don't need training. We just instinctively know.
Well, men probably also don't need the enhancement suits, which are translucent and skin tight.
Of course they are.
Yeah, there's like not a single male student at the school, and basically, you know, we're going through the training of these girls who have to learn to fight with mechs, and they get to do so with giant paintball guns.
What?
Yes, they're mech fighting with paintball guns.
I'm not gonna lie, that sounds kinda awesome.
It's not as awesome as you think. It's just during the training montage, and then, you know,
It's a montage of paintball fighting with robots?
Parts of it are paintball fighting, parts of it are just them running, parts of it are, you know, flying in formation, parts of it are training swords in the mechs.
Okay, that sounds real stupid. I was thinking, like, it would be... I was thinking it'd be like every TV paintball fight I've ever seen, where just like people running around like doing kind of like really stupid like pseudo military shit and yelling at everyone. It's like, dude, you fucking hit me! Like, dude, I fucking hit you! The fuck you did! And like getting into like really stupid fights over someone wiping off paint.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that in a mech.
Not really. Just you have a hand in a mech, just wipe it off.
Yeah, but these ones have all sorts of angular armor and crap.
Yep, so then it'll be easier to hide the paint that you got hit on. Just wipe off the exterior and then leave like the little cracks and crevices filled with paint, because that way they won't. Like, I doubt people will look that closely.
Anyways, so then, you know, oh snap, the Beta are attacking the capital of Japan. Which, at this point, is Kyoto.
Okay, I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Don't ask me what happened, or maybe I just misread that, I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, they attack, and it's like, okay, this is the final defense line, we have to fight, and it just gets wiped out. And then the teenage girls are deployed to fight, and then, end of episode!
Wow, that...
And the plot, honestly, it did drag, but I feel like it might pick up in the future. I wasn't as negative about it as some of the other people, but... Because I watch it with my anime club, so everyone does a short little review. And, like, the guy who organizes it, he, like... He railed on it.
Okay.
Now, are you okay with a little spoiler of the next episode? I mean, I'm sure you can probably predict what happens, but...
Oh, go right ahead.
Okay. For the fans who don't have the option of replying to me in real time... spoiler alert for the next episode. Pretty much the vast majority of those girls die. Very brutally and painfully.
That's what you come to see.
So, it sort of picks up. I guess if you want to... Story-wise, it gives a launch point for why the big reason the main character is doing what she's doing, and or the two. I think there's two who are sort of it focuses on.
Yeah, and all those boring people he didn't like in the first episode are all dead now.
Yay! Yeah.
And they're killed quite brutally.
Woo! So.
Hey!
Woo, death, bro!
So yeah, that's my two cents. This and also this series, Move Love, I believe, is what it's, I mean, the Total Eclipse, I think, is Move Love Alternative. And it's a series of... There's a whole complicated storyline, and the original Move Love series was basically that setup. And then there was another manga that I read a long time ago called Move Love Alternative, without any subtitle or anything, which was one of the main characters, like the one male main character, who showed up apparently in Move Love, gets teleported back in time to try and change the course of things, because yes, he saves the world at the end, but it's a, he basically saves a smoking crater. So he goes back and he's trying to change things, but, and then there's Move Love Alternative Total Eclipse, which seems to be another completely separate timeline.
Move Love sounds really dirty.
It's MUVLUV.
It still sounds dirty.
It sort of, yes. But I'm far from an expert on it. I have very brief experiences with two of them, with two series. So,
well, then you have failed us as our senior anime correspondent, sir.
It's just the one series. The one thing is a game. The visual novel, which is not my bag. But yes, I've read the what little of the manga was about a year and a half ago, and watched a bit of the anime, and neither of them really gripped me, to be honest, but they seemed somewhat too heavily based on their past events. So, if you want to get into it, play the game.
Okay, well, moving on. Anything else, Bobby?
No, that's all I got.
Okay, Pudgetron.
Hooray, in case you hadn't already gotten enough of my voice already.
Yes, and his false starts.
Exactly. But when you brought up Geppetto when we started talking about manga, it reminded me last minute of another manhwa that I had been reading that is actually really good.
Well, what is it?
Nowhere Boy?
Pardon?
Nowhere Boy.
Nowhere Boy. Don't think I've heard of that one.
But basically, the setup is that it's called, there's this game show called I Am Unhappy. It's an exciting new game show to find the world's most unhappy person.
Well, you didn't really sell it right. It's like, welcome to I Am Unhappy! Woo! The exciting new game show where we try to find the world's most unhappy person.
And basically, I'll ignore that.
When you're talking about a game show and you say, it's the exciting new game show, you have to do it in the really schmaltzy fucking game show host voice.
This is only like the first four pages when this game show thing happens. The rest is what happens afterwards.
I don't give a fuck. You still
but
got,
anyway.
You still, when you talk about a game show, you have to use that voice.
New rule.
Yes. This is the voice law. The law of the internet.
The grand prize is a wish granted by God.
I thought the grand prize would be suicide.
In this universe. But basically, the winner, so to speak, of the world's most unhappy person contest, wishes for the world to end. So, basically,
plan kind of backfired on him there.
God sort of goes, okay, fine, but this is going to happen in 100 days. If during that time you decide that this isn't what you want, you can change your mind only once. So
then the rest of the series is just everyone trying to get this guy happy and change his mind about ending the world?
Pretty much. It's not just anybody. It is a task force set up by God.
Oh God, this sounds amazing. How have I not heard this before?
Because, frankly, I just stumbled on it by complete accident.
I was spending too much time with Witch Hunter and Onihame Versus.
But basically, they set up a special class in his school that is completely comprised of, I think it's 13 other students and him, plus the teacher who's also an aunt. And they're basically just doing a bunch of schemes to get him involved in things around the school and, you know, trying to get him to fall in love and whatnot, and anything to get him to.
Just get him a hooker.
Believe me, that would not work. When you read the manga, you'll find out, and it goes to some very dark places, especially when it gets into the reasons why he is the winner of the world's least happy person.
Ooh. Get
so
excited.
It goes through some very, very dark places, and but it's extremely well written, it's amusing for large portions of the time, and there are some characters where I just can't wait to see what the heck they're going to do, because they haven't done much of anything yet. But they just seem to have so much potential.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's great. You should all read it.
Everyone.
Alright then, that was Nowhere Boy. Now back into my regularly scheduled programming.
Again,
stuff I actually had prepared before the podcast started.
Again, you have to go into the voice, like, and now back to our regularly scheduled programming. See, I put practice in this motherfucking voice.
Yeah.
I take pride in my stupid voice.
Uh-huh, that's good. That's nice, dear. Anyway, my next series is Katsuko Otsukaishimasu, or Katsuko Working, if you want something simpler to spell. Basically, Katsuko, who's the daughter of a prestigious line of servants even more prestigious, I guess, Otori family. And this is, you know, long, long time, long history between the two families of Katsuko's family serving the Otori family, and so on and so forth. And she's gotten stuck with the most recent, with the new heir of the Otori, who also happens to be the principal of her high school.
Bon, 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 bon.
That is sort of the premise of the series, that she's sort of dragged out of class and such to perform her maid duties. Sorry, that was a hiccup. And it's just the consequences of that. It seems it's not very far in. It's only three chapters in now.
Okay.
And
so does she actually have to come to school dressed up as a maid?
Not at school. When she's called down to his office for things, she needs to change.
Oh.
She needs to change on the way and show up in her maid attire, or else he yells at her. It's actually one of the talking points of the first chapter, I think. he calls her down, and she rushes out of the classroom, and he goes, "You're late. And yeah. You're not dressed properly."
What? Yeah, this is one of the few instances where Pepe from To Love Rue could actually have practical applications in other manga.
Yeah, sort of. She manages it in the later chapters, though.
Well, just running down the street, just has like a flash ring at some point, just hits a button that it made, just pops it, just dives into it.
Probably.
Because I would want to see that.
But, you know, it's sort of their family is sort of full of, her family is the badass servant variety.
Badass?
I think might be the second chapter, one of the first two, at least. She's used in a counter-terrorist position. The principal noticed that there was a student who hadn't been at school for 3 days. And so he reasoned that she had been kidnapped and sent his maid to go save the student.
You know, as people with maids are wont to do.
Well, yes, her family's long been badass servants ages ago, so they have all the right training and such. So it's okay.
Oh, well, as long as it's okay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, pshaw.
But yeah, it's sort of the maid who doesn't really like her master all that much because he's a bit of a stuck-up twat. But he has these, towards the end of chapters, he has these sort of windows into a much more thoughtful person.
Okay.
It's sort of why she explains why she keeps coming back and, you know, keeps working for him.
Doesn't beat him into a bloody pulp.
Sort of, yeah. But yeah, it's something that has potential, in my mind.
Okay. So,
keep an eye on that one.
Okay.
All right. Let's go into the sappy romance manga.
Oh, beauty.
Yes!
Who doesn't love a sappy romance manga?
It's not all that sappy. But
who doesn't love a sappy romance?
But anyway, it's it's Koi Somei Momiji is what it is called. And the main character, I have forgotten his name, and it doesn't list it on the synopsis I have in front of me. So
he's just that important.
Yeah, totally. The main character is the high school student, and he sort of just does his high school student thing. And then it's announced that it's a movie or like a drama series is going to be filmed at his high school based on a book and a popular sort of novel, love novel thing that had been going around. They touch on it briefly before the announcement, and on his way home from school after the announcement, he runs into this extremely beautiful girl who asks him to take her picture and in front of the lake where he's walking by, and he does, and sort of hands her the camera back, and he gets super embarrassed and runs off.
With her camera?
No, not with the camera.
I was going to say, like, can you take a picture with me of this? Sure. Fuck off. Run with the camera. It's like, hey, you asshole, that's my camera.
Yeah. The character is normal in every way, except he gets extremely flustered when faced with girls he finds beautiful. But basically, long story short, is that the girl he ran into is the star of the show that's going to be filmed at his high school, and he then saves her from sort of the paparazzi staff of the show kind of thing when she just wants to get away. And they go and it's like, hey, I need to practice my acting, and so why don't you pretend to be my boyfriend, because I have a boyfriend in the show. And you can see where this storyline is going.
And hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm. And
like, oh, he was bringing her lunch, but oh, he tripped because he was flustered and it fell over. Womp, 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 womp.
Yeah.
You can clearly see why I'm not writing professionally.
But yeah, the book is based on a love triangle. So this other girl, the other actress, shows up who turns out to be a childhood friend of his from elementary school, and she also asks him to pretend to be her boyfriend and stuff. And so, you know, it's like, reality is mirroring the book.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, so it's a fake love triangle. So it's a real love triangle based around a fake love triangle.
Yes. With the most recent chapter, it looks like it's being turned into a love square.
It's much more complex. See, it's a real love triangle disguised as a fake love triangle based on a fake love triangle.
Which is based on the author
was probably based on a real love triangle.
Yeah, but there's another layer to it. So it's a real love triangle disguised as a fake love triangle, based on a fake love triangle that is based on a different fake love triangle that's probably based on a real love triangle. Because script. Yeah, because it's a script adapted from a book. So there's probably going to be some subtle differences between the TV show love triangle and the real love and the book love triangle.
Exactly. So yeah, that's that. It's well written. I enjoy it. It's very good sort of romantic fare if you're into that kind of thing. So check that one out.
Rick and Erica.
Get on the check them out line there.
Yeah.
Okay. On to my final series. Ben.
Okay, what is your final series, then?
Now, this was a new one that I was tempted to drop into the aimless wanderings, but decided against it. It would be much more fun to talk about and get reactions from people.
Specifically us.
Yes. It's called Bloomed in Action. So, basically, Spec Ops Soldier Extraordinaire, Terawaki Ryo, is blown up due to a mistake. He makes a near-fatal mistake in the field, but he's saved when a secret, you know, an MGO, rebuilds his body using research they've done into human revivals. Naturally, with most human revival stories, this involves the limitation of him only being able to be brought back as a girl.
Of course it is.
Sorry, man, we're out of cybernetic male parts, so...
It's like, sorry, man, the penis just kind of can't get revived.
Yeah.
The penis is the cause of all death in men.
They never really explain why this is. It's something to do with the research. I really don't know.
Yeah. It's like, we just wanted a girl around here. We're so lonely.
But
well, let's just say our researchers were a lot more interested in creating a cybernetic vagina.
Yeah, I mean, they already had 17 on stock. Cybernetic penises, not so many.
But, in essence, his new identity, Shibahara Kyoko, is relatively frail compared to his, you know, Spec Ops soldier extraordinaire body. So it doesn't allow for the wide variety of combat skills and things that he would be able to do normally. So instead of being put out into the field again due to the physical limitations of his new body, he is sent as sort of a undercover bodyguard into a special girls' academy for, you know, the leaders of the country, for the daughters of the leaders of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the biggest names in politics and whatnot.
Yeah, okay.
Since there's been a, you know, it's political leaders' children, so it's, you know,
since there's terrorism everywhere.
Yeah, targets painted on their back for terrorists and stuff. And so he's originally sent to find his original commanding officer, who is supposedly leading has supposedly defected and is targeting the school. But as it turns out, it's the Department of Defense guy who has defected, who originally sent him on the mission, who defected, and he's part of the terrorists, and his former commander has also been turned into a girl and is at the school. It just so happens that he's his roommate and in the dorms. So after stopping the Department of Defense guy, it's like, yeah, they go and they sort of set up a protection network between the two of them for the school.
Yeah, when you started describing this show, I mean, this thing, it sounded very similar to Pretty Face, which was a thing that I read a while back, which I actually kind of liked. But then it just took a turn somewhere in there. Like, so Pretty Face, there's a guy who's like high school student. He's real muscular. He's like, beefcake. But then one day he stays in the bus for a bit too long and gets into a horrible accident and is like fucked up beyond repair. Well, mostly beyond repair. He's FUBAR, I guess. Fucked up beyond recognition. But so then one day he finally wakes up from his coma and he has the face of a girl, and he has the face of the girl that he's in love with. Because he had a picture of her in his pocket, and the doctor who did the surgery just assumed this was his face.
Because, you know, I know I carry a picture of myself around with me.
Yeah, and so since he's been in that coma for so long, all his, like, body mass has, like, gone away, so he has no muscle tone whatsoever, and he has pretty much the very slender body of a girl. So then he goes to school, but dressed up as a girl, and then runs into the girl who he's in love with, and she just sees him and assumes that he is her long-lost twin sister. Because she is a long-lost twin sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so then the rest of the series is just him trying to live his life as this girl's twin sister, while the doctor who gave him the girl's face just keeps trying to like push the idea on him of getting a sex change operation, actually just becoming a girl, because he still has his penis. Like, the only thing about him that's a girl is his physique and his face. The rest is masculine. He has no breasts, and he has still his dick. So that's one of the big jokes of this entire series, is just, it's just him, like, hey, so I'm going to go into the, so hey, we're at this hospital, I'm going to go into the bath, take out my fake boobs, put them there, and it's, oh, this is nice, then, oh shit, the girls are coming, gotta grab my fake boobs and run. Okay, just up to a point, it sounded kind of similar to that show, but then, oh no, wait, there's a security network made up of two girls who used to be dudes who are roommates in this dorm of a high school that's full of full of politicians' daughters that are being targeted by terrorists from the Department of Defense guy.
Well, they catch the Department of Defense guy fairly early on,
mm-hmm.
but it's, you know, they're protecting it from terrorism in general.
Oh god, yeah, it just sounds so insane.
So, I deem it likely that they will set up a complete network comprising of more than just two of them. They'll, like, recruit people,
mm-hmm.
other girls in the academy, and such.
I'm guessing someone from the Kendo Club.
Very maybe.
Someone from the Karate Club. Yeah.
But sure. it sounds amusing.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly something you don't see a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's something you don't see every day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so you said that was the last one?
Yes, it was.
Okay, then. On to news. So, first up, Aniplex is releasing a Blu-ray set of Bakemonogatari this fall. So, the Bakemonogatari Blu-ray Complete Set Limited Edition is going to be available on November 20th for a cost of $150. The set includes a 36-page booklet featuring character designs and concept art, subtitled audio commentary, and it comes in a kind of cool-looking box.
I feel like for the size of the series, the price is a bit high.
Yeah, it comes on six DVDs. Well, six Blu-rays, I guess. In three DVD, in three cases that all have different girls on them. But hey, if you get subtitled audio commentary and a cool-looking box.
Yeah, for the length of the series, it may be a bit much, but for the quality of the series?
Oh, definitely. It's a fucking awesome series.
Wah!
Yeah, and so also the set will have no English dub, and you'll only have the English subtitles. So, good on people who like subs and not dubs. So moving on. The BBC series Sherlock is getting a manga.
Boo!
Yeah, it looks bad. Like, I'm not talking about, like, the actual... The concept of it is stupid, too, but the actual look of it is pretty bad. Like, Sherlock's eyes look like he's possessed. They look like they're colds.
There's not enough cheekbones.
Yeah. Watson's brow looks like it's trying to burst its way out of his skin. Like, seriously, if you look, like, his left... Like, the bone on his, his left eyebrow, which would be our right, it looks like it's, like, protruding an inch out of his face further than it should. Yeah, so the series is being adapted by a mangaka called Jay. And it's going to be here in the November issue of Young Ace magazine. The first issue of manga is going to be retelling the episode A Study in Pink.
That's got to be the worst part. It's not even new stories. It's just, let's put them onto this medium that they don't really belong in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real stupid. Moving on to something equally stupid, but somehow still popular. Yu-Gi-Oh! So, Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal 2, the sequel series to Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, has a new time slot. So starting on October 7th, it's going to be airing in the 5:30 p.m. time slot on Sundays, instead of the previous time slot of 7:30 p.m. on Mondays. Yuma Tsukumo is still going to be the protagonist as he fights shit, and new series is going to be picking up after the World Duel Carnival, as Hiro meets new friends, new enemies, and does other card stuff with stupid eye visors, and holograms, and way too many wristbands.
First of all, what is a Zexal?
I have no idea.
I think he's a significant character in the show.
Maybe it's the weird, stupid, like, scanner things they have on their faces.
Why do they have scanner things on their faces?
I don't know. Maybe that's how they project the holograms?
No.
Maybe that's how they issue commands to their fucking holograms?
But all that existed before the stupid visor things.
Yeah, I have no goddamn idea.
Whatever, the whole...
Google Glasses.
Yeah.
It's
augmented reality, bro.
Anything Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime is just ridiculously stupid.
Yeah, I dropped off the Yu-Gi-Oh! Animes around Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
I dropped off it as soon as I watched a couple episodes, and I'm like, they don't even follow the rules of the game.
Yeah, and it gets real weird, too. It's like... Like, hey, we have this card game, which is so popular, it now has an entire school, which takes up the entirety of an island.
I know, like, in the beginning, like, other than, you know, when you entered a duel with magic powers,
yeah,
people were just playing the card game like, you know, you or I would play the card game. You put out a mat, you set down the cards, you play.
Yeah.
And then an eccentric billionaire made an island where you could have this huge tournament, but he was eccentric and also evil.
Yeah, and meanwhile, there's this other eccentric billionaire that figured out a way to make the cards, like, without any kind of code on them at all, project themselves as holograms in a 3D environment. And then the kid had the fucking puzzle, which turned him into a pharaoh.
Yeah, it was weird enough, but it wasn't that... It wasn't as bad as it is now.
Yeah, like, I thought, you know, it's been a while since I've watched a Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, maybe it's not as bad as I remember. Let me check the most recent one. They're in the fifth dimension riding motorcycles to duel cards. Okay, just shut that down. But yeah, moving on. The manga series XXXHolic is going to be getting itself a live-action drama series.
Yes, because every manga should totally be, you know, adapted into live-action.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, XXXHolic would probably be one of the ones that would work. Because it's not dependent on so much of the anime thing. It's just sort of a supernatural drama series, really.
Mm.
So it could work. I'm not saying it will, but it doesn't...
There's potential.
It doesn't have the crutch as much of a anime crutch as, you know, a series like, say, Gurren Lagann would have.
Oh god, can you imagine that live action?
Yeah.
Just Kamina in live action.
Yeah, they don't rely on so much on the craziness that you can get in some anime and manga.
So it's a much more sober affair.
Well, yeah. It's a kid who can see spirits runs into a witch who saves him from a demon that's trying to eat him, and thus he's in her debt. And she basically uses him as a servant to send him out and do errands for people who want her help.
Okay, well, the series is set to air in 2013. It will be directed by Keisuke Togishima, who also did Soft Boy, which I don't know what that is. But, not much is known on, like, the rest of the casting, but we do know that Shota Sometani and Anne Watanabe will be in the star roles. And that is it for news. It's time for Anime Club! That is you! So yeah, Punishron, it was your pick this week. Remind everyone what you picked.
Alright, I picked another Nishio Isin series, Kata Nagatari. No relation to Bakemon Nagatari, besides the author.
And the title, kind of.
Well, now you're just confusing them.
No, it's the second half of the titles are very similar. Because it's the same thing.
Anyway, you're interrupting my synopsis. The setup basically goes as such. The legendary swordsmith, Shikizaki Kiki, made 1,000 swords throughout his entire life.
Yeah. Some of those swords are actually guns.
Shh, I'm getting to that. He was so good at this that entire wars were won or lost, depending on how many of his swords either side had. So when the Owari Shogunate emerged victorious, the Shogun collected the 988 of those swords. The final 12 were the absolute pinnacle of Kiki's career. They were basically so perfect that they were supernatural. They were so perfectly made that they had supernatural properties.
Mm-hmm.
So the strategist, Togame had...
Stratagem. She's very persistent about that. Every time, it's like, Togame, the Stratagem.
Regardless, Togame has been ordered to recover these final 12 extremely special swords.
The Deviant Blades.
Yes. At first, she tried hiring a ninja clan. But the worth of the sword that she found, that the clan found, was so great that the entire clan defected the moment they recovered one. Then she hired a swordsman, but he also kept the sword for himself after finding them. So she goes to find the head of Chotoryu, the no sword school, which, you know, the logic is that, you know, he doesn't need a sword.
He is a sword.
He won't steal the swords.
Which is sound logic.
So she goes to him, and long story short,
take a shot.
They agree, and he agrees to help her. And yep. They part on their journey.
But the thing is, she went there looking for the sixth head of Kyotoryu. She found the seventh, because the sixth is dead.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that is... So they've been living on this island for, like, the past 20 years in exile, I guess?
Yes.
And that's pretty much the joke. This kid has spent his entire life away from civilization so he has no idea how it works. It's kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. He's about function, not style. I guess we should actually say, how much of the series have we watched? Like, Pudge, I'm guessing you've seen all of it.
Yes.
Bowie?
I've seen a couple episodes.
How many?
Two.
Okay. Yeah. You really can't say a couple, because for me, a couple is very ambiguous. Like, I don't see a couple as two. So just shut up. I've seen two episodes as well.
Okay.
Well, couple literally means two.
Well, fuck literally. For me, a couple means more than one. So for the episodes I've seen them, it was the second episode, obviously. But they go into town, and Togame is saying, hey, you need to get some clothes, even though he's wearing clothes, but I guess everyone thinks he's a pervert or something. Or she says they'll think he's a pervert or something. So she goes in and she starts like going through looking for all these clothes, and then he ends up buying one thing, some pants.
I do dig the new outfit.
Yeah, it's a good outfit.
Yes. I must point out though that Togame is like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm traveling around with a half naked idiot. And then my only response to that was, to be fair, you're traveling around with a half naked idiot.
Yeah.
Well, he's not
an idiot. He's uncivilized.
As you go through the series, you find that he's not really all that stupid. He just hasn't had the opportunity to learn things.
I mean, living on an island for your entire life, it doesn't really give you like the proper context for all these things.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's all about functionality. Like, the only reason he bought those pants was because he was he's still able to move and fight in them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that seems to be the big thing of, she's always like trying to teach him things about like the real world, and he's always like, why? And she's also like always, one thing I noticed with this is, so they're walking through the desert trying to get to the castle to get the second sword, which is this sword that can supposedly cut anything. And so, as they're going along, she's talking about how he needs to be better. He needs to stop being so selfish because she needs to write a better report.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his reports are supposed to be, like, concise. They're to the point. It's like, right, this happened, this happened, this happened. But she's, like, writing a fucking novel, apparently. because she's like you need to be more interesting. You're so you have no personality. All your enemies are more interesting than you are. It's like you need to start having more personality. You need to have like a catchphrase or something. And it's like come on. I need to write this report good. How's anyone gonna keep people to stop reading it if you're not interesting? It's like, stop being so selfish. And then she immediately goes off and does something really stupid and selfish.
I got distracted and missed the part where they explain what would happen if the one sword hit the other sword.
So what happened with that is the swords were developed in order. So the newest sword is the most perfect sword. Meanwhile, the 12th newest sword is the weakest sword. So since the blunt, I guess, I'm just going to call it the blunt because that's what they called it in the show. Well, they called it something else, but it meant, but it translated to the blunt. So if the blunt hit the first one they got, it would break because the blunt is newer than that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you try to use the 12th sword on the 11th sword, the 12th sword would break. If you try to use the 12th sword on the first sword, I'm guessing the 12th sword would disintegrate.
Well, there's an exception to the rule.
Yes.
Really. There's the one sword that's... One of the swords is extremely fragile.
Yeah.
By nature.
Yeah, and one of the swords is a gun.
Two guns,
yeah. Yeah, like, that's not a blade. That's guns.
Well, that... Most of the stuff gets explained away in the last... two episodes, kind of. It all sort of all comes to a head when certain things get revealed, and it... Yeah, we can get into the spoiler stuff later.
Yeah, dude, this is fucking anime club. We're gonna be spoiling shit.
Yes.
People know this.
And if they didn't, they do now.
Hmm. Yeah, so like as they were going through all of it, so at the beginning of the series, first episode, they started explaining. She started like listing off all the different swords, and you saw like silhouettes of them. I saw 10 swords, a piece of armor, and 2 guns.
Yeah.
So they're really the 10 deviant blades, the 2 deviant guns, the deviant piece of armor.
Oh, the armor has sword things on it.
It's still armor.
Well. They took on, you know, otherworldly properties. Perhaps he just forged a sword and they just it just transformed into guns.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, I'm gonna hit you, just goes to hit you with a sword and the sword breaks off from the hilt, and then it just magically turns into guns. But do you think magical sword guns need to be reloaded?
They never are on screen.
Case like
but yes, do. I can tell you from what is revealed later that they do.
Okay, so does the person who... do they sell bullets in this time?
They would be getting close to that era.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how...
not the bullets that would be needed for the guns in question, as it is a... I think it's Colt 45, and I'm not sure what the semi-automatic is, but...
Wait, so there's a... So there's like a revolver and a semi-automatic?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing semi-automatic would be like 9mm, maybe?
Oh, yeah, it's a 9mm. It's no Magnum or anything.
Okay, so yeah, it'd be like a clip of 9mm and like fucking 45s. So, yeah, would those be sold in the area? Like, would he... Yeah, like, does he have, like, every time the person who has, like, the semi-automatic, like, empties the clip, does he then have to, like, eject the clip, then fill it back full of bullets and then put it back in, or does he have multiple clips?
They never shoot enough at the same time to ever warrant a reload.
Okay. You know,
guns finish the job pretty quickly in this time period.
Uh-huh. But if you're fighting enough dudes, let's say you got 6 bullets in the one thing, 15, I'm guessing, plus 1 in the chamber, so 16 in the semi-automatic?
Sure.
So if you go up against more than 22 dudes, you're going to need to reload at some point.
Mm-hmm. But it never shows that on screen. And also, the guy who uses them is on par with Maniwa Ho-o, who is extremely, extremely dangerous.
Okay.
He's the leader of the Maniwani.
Okay, can he kill... Can that guy kill more than one person with one bullet?
Oh, probably.
Okay, so if he goes up against more than... So he goes up against more than 30 dudes?
The point is, yes, they probably need reloading. No, it's never shown on screen. It's never really implied that he does.
Well, I'm just asking some bullshit questions here, man. What did you expect from me? Like, insightful questions? Pshaw. But yeah, so just one thing. Is this ever explained in the episodes? Is this ever explained in the show? So, Togame, she has this one eye that goes from... So she has, like, her regular eyes are, like, regular-looking eyes, except they're red, because, you know, it's anime. But then, every once in a while, one of her eyes will turn completely purple and have a cross in it.
I think they never really... It's not an important reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of a body reacting to trauma.
She goes into stratagem mode?
Kind of thing. It happens when she gets emotional or... when she gets emotional, really.
Speaking of emotional, So, in order to get him off the island, she tried to, like, convince him with some shit, and he was like, I don't wanna. And then she just said, hey, fall in love with me. And, yeah, they got him off the island.
Yeah.
And so does that keep up as a thing? Like, does he actually ever, like, truthfully fall in love with her, or does he just keep saying it?
No, yeah, it becomes big towards the end.
Okay, and does he keep, like, every night wrapping himself in her hair and sniffing her?
Well, not every night. Mainly due to, in partway through the series, her hair gets cut off.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so he... So one of his things is that he is kind of... He's not very good at, like, distinguishing people from people.
Well, yeah, he's lived on an island with just his sister. He's never had to recognize anybody else.
Uh-huh.
So he just kind of hasn't developed that ability, really, to differentiate quickly between different people.
Yes, like, one of his things... So one thing he has to do is he had to, like... So what he's doing is wrapping himself in her hair, like, getting used to her scent, getting used to her look, her feel, her scent, her taste, because he licks her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's into that kinky shit.
Well, yeah, basically, his thing is that he doesn't really register faces.
Mm-hmm.
Because he never had to, with only one other person.
Yeah.
On the island, his whole life, he's never really... He basically... Hey, it's a person. It's my sister.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, like, that's actually one of the jokes, I guess, in the first episode, where one of the guys in the Maniwani, who had, like, the sword and a visor, I guess, he used transformation shit to disguise himself as Togame. And then he, like, dresses up as her after barfing up her clothing, because he had her clothing.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, dresses up at her and starts, like, running towards, like, hey, dude, whose name I can't remember.
Like, Shishka?
Shishka, yeah. Yeah, he starts running toward that dude, he's like, hey, Shishka, and then he just, like, and the guy just turns around and just immediately kicks her in the gut. He's like, oh, Togame, there's somebody else. And the ninja just cannot believe it. Because, yeah, but it was pretty funny, actually, just... She just comes running out like a frail little girl and then just boot to the gut. It's like, oh, it's you. Sorry about that.
Honestly, just the two episodes I've seen, he's pretty thoroughly beating the crap out of her.
Oh, yeah. He does not treat her with any kind of dignity. It's just... At one point, he, like, somehow grabbed her with a kick. Which was weird. The physics of that... So yeah, it's a bit where she, where they're going to get Heimlich, they're going to get Blunt, and she goes to step in, and then he, and she is like, oh shit, he's going to attack you, and just like, kind of like, kicks her in the back of the head, and then pulls back, and that somehow grabs her and flings her back. With pretty decent force. And then she starts bitching because she's a bitch. Like, I really don't like her. Like, she's just a fucking bitch. I know, it's just... Oh, God, I really don't like people like her.
Yeah, she gets better.
Yeah, so I guess for people out there, I guess we should explain Kyoto Ryu. So yeah, I guess with people in his clan, they have a genetic disability, which means they can't use swords. Like, it's actually a physical thing. Like, a guy turns into him physically and can't hold a sword anymore.
Now, actually, what is revealed to be the source is that the Kyoto Ryu style, the founder of it, was friends of Shikizaki Kiki.
Hmm.
And basically, together, they developed this style that turned the founder into a sword, so to speak, thus making Kyoto Ryu the 13th Deviant Blade.
Okay.
So, and supposedly the perfect one. I'm making air quotes again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it plays real well on an audio podcast.
I know, it's awesome. It's just a habit.
Yeah. See, this is why we need office space. Then we can start doing vidcasts, and you can actually do air quotes and have people see them. Yeah, click the link anyway. Click the bottom of the page to donate and help us get office space.
But, yeah, basically the thing is that, you know, a sword can't use a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, katana, use this.
Katana.
Scimitar. And it just kind of drops it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the clumsy bastard it is.
Yeah. Katana's not very dexterous.
No. But yeah, that's sort of how they explain it.
So if the son of someone who is like a Kyoto Ryu clan head decides not to learn Kyoto Ryu, can he use a sword?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, like I'm just wondering, because like the guy he turns into him, but it didn't look like he had any of his skills.
Well, so he certainly didn't try them.
I'm guessing basically you're born and you are a sword, but you have to learn how to be a sword well.
So it was just some weird thing. Like the guy turned himself into a sword, and then everyone from his like clan then is then born a sword. That would be painful, like having sex with a sword.
The sword is my penis.
Which in this case it actually is. This guy can probably cut someone down with his dick.
Worst case scenario.
It's like, oh no, my hands are tied up, my pants are down. I shall fight.
Well,
I just got an image of like guy pelvic thrusting around in a sword fight with the ting sounds. Ting 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 ting.
It's like, I can't feel any of this. It's the springtime of youth.
But seriously, that could almost definitely happen with very little effort on at least Shichika's part, because if you watch that last episode, the 12th episode is just...
He humps someone to death?
Not exactly, but you just show how powerful he really is.
This is... Just, with the way you're saying it, and you're like, you say humping to death, not exactly, it just gives me the image of him, like, tied up with his hands being tied up, and so he just says, fuck it, like, hops up using his body strength, launches himself at the guy, and then just, like, thrusts his pelvis into the guy's face and stabs him. That's all I'm seeing.
No, it's just kind of, he's just so strong and skilled and whatnot that, believe me, it's once, in the beginning, Togame restricts him to not breaking the swords.
Mm-hmm.
This turns into an extremely huge limitation on him.
Okay. Yeah, because like a main thing with his with like the Kyoto Ryu style, I guess, is actually breaking swords.
Well, it's one of the moves.
Yeah, like I've seen like in the second episode, like the guys came out like, hey, I'm pulling sword, and then Shishka just like without any hesitation just crack breaks the sword, breaks the guy's arm.
Yep. I mean, it's a logical tactic.
Yeah. It's a defensive move.
A swordsman.
Yeah.
Is to remove the sword from the swordsman.
Yeah, and the series is a very good series.
Yes.
Like, the art is very good on it. Like, I really like the art, especially on Shishka, because... So, he is kind... So, a lot of stuff with the Kyoto Ryu is revolved around plants. Like, all the moves are named after plants.
I think they're all flowers.
Yeah, he always goes, Kyoto Ryu names a flower and then does a move.
Yeah.
And so he actually is... His head looks like a plant. Like a leaf. His hair is specifically drawn in a way that looks exactly like a leaf.
Mm-hmm. Actually, looking at it right now, because I just happen to have an image up, it looks very much like a flower.
It looks like a plant.
It looks like a flower, and he's got the long-ass hair, so he's got a stem going down to the ground.
Yeah, I was just thinking leaf because I had like the... But then also had like a little stick thing. And also had like a little piece of hair coming out the top, which kind of looked like how it was attached to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it can be interpreted in multiple ways. Like his giant ass rat tail could be. His hair is long as hell. It goes down to his feet, and he is huge. He's a tall person.
Well, to be fair, Togame is pretty short.
Oh, and I've seen him compared to other people. He's tall.
Well, yes, he's larger than average, but the effect is exacerbated by
he's
him standing next to Togame so much.
He's larger than your average swordsman. Yeah, so we also got to see some of the Maniwani, who are the ninjas. And I looked it up, those things that he threw were in fact shuriken. Because in the first episode, which we'll hear us to commentate over during the anime consult, which will be up when this is up, we keep saying, hey, those are kunais, not shuriken. Yeah, they're shuriken. Shuriken is any thrown weapon. Yeah, I looked this up. Yeah, so Punchatron is right. We were wrong, Bovi.
No, I actually conceded by the end. I'm like, oh, basic geometric shape, yeah.
Yeah, not even basic geometric shape, it's... If it's a thrown weapon, it's a shuriken. Like needles are shuriken.
I was going by current legal definitions, so I guess that's not the right definition to go by.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it said like any, like the regular definition of shuriken, the ninja stars. I'm pretty sure they're called shaka, which is a subclass of shuriken. But yeah, shuriken are any thrown projectile weapons. So yeah, the more you know. But yeah, so, because of anything else you want to say on the series?
Well, I just kind of really want to talk about the last couple episodes.
Cause okay,
they're
good.
Awesome, because this is, after
then,
this.
Then go ahead, we'll ask really stupid questions.
Because, like... This is going into heavy spoiler territory.
So I don't really care. Like, I don't care if shit's spoiled. I can still enjoy it. But for anyone out there, we're probably going to be talking... Like, unless Bovi has anything else you want to talk about, or Pudge, you have anything else you want to talk about, or just the last two episodes?
Yeah, just the last couple episodes I want to bring up.
Yeah, it's fine. I got nothing else. So, yeah. From here on is spoilers. Heavy spoilers. So.
Yeah, so you can pretty much just... So if you don't want any spoilers, you can just kind of cut the show here. You know how if you're listening to us for long enough, you know how the show ends. You know our lineup for the next couple of weeks. So yeah, spoiler alert, you've been warned. So go ahead.
All right. So, well, in episode 11, I had to do math in my head there to figure out which episode was second to last. But Jacques Togame dies.
No!
Well, she doesn't die in episode 11. She gets shot in episode 11. And, you know, the shogunate betrayed them and...
Wouldn't it be shogunate?
Whatever. But...
That guy.
Betrayed, basically, after they got the final sword. And... Emon Zaimon, who's the guy with the mask. Okay. Who I'm not sure you've met by the second episode.
No, we have not.
No? But there's the princess. And... Then there's the... Ninja with the mask. With the Japanese character on the mask. And you never see his face. And, but anyway... And he's the one who uses the guns towards the end. All of the Manyuwa heads are dead. Some a little more brutally than others. Which was unfortunate. The death of Pingin was actually pretty cruel. Even by my standards. Long story short, Chichika kind of goes and wrecks shit.
Aw, yeah.
So the Shogun has his 11 personal retainers, and the princess, I don't think she's actually the Shogun's daughter or anything, she's just a noblewoman, has Emon Zaimon in her service, who has the guns. So, with them together, that makes 12, so they each have one of the swords. And on this rampage that Shichika goes on, it's just, he goes, it's sort of like, I can't remember, Game of Death. That's the Bruce Lee movie, right?
I don't know, I don't. There's any
goes up through the towers. It was, you know, filmed during when he died. But basically, you go up through the levels and you fight a different person on each level to get to the top.
Looks like a video game.
But so basically, he runs into a retainer on every level that has one of the swords, and basically he just wrecks shit because, you know, with Togame being dead, all restrictions are off. He's allowed to destroy anything he wants to, and he just shatters every single weapon.
So the way you're describing this, it sounds like it. And I imagine it would be kind of similar to like how the show opened. So at the beginning of the show, you see this guy with like no sword just going through climbing the stairs, wrecking everybody who steps into his path.
Yeah, it is. Mirroring, it is purposefully mirroring that.
Is everything on fire?
No.
Oh.
But he does, with his bare hands, put a massive crack down the side of the castle.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Does he catch bullets?
No. Well, with his body, but.
Oh, but the bullets just
count.
The bullets just bounce off, or do they actually go in?
Oh no, they go in. He's literally he admits he's going in there to die.
Okay.
I mean, he's not just going to give up, but he's going there to die. In the hopes that somebody will kill him.
Yeah. He's going to go there, wreck shit, someone kills me, eh, no more, no biggie.
But yeah, basically, he goes through and it's like, that indestructible sword from the first episode?
Yep.
Just shatters it. The move he originally tried on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just shatters it. Kills the guy.
Oh, wow, yeah, that... Yeah.
Basically, everybody ends up dead, except for two young girls and a shogi player? I think?
Seems like a dark fucking ending.
It turns pretty nasty towards the end.
Yeah, it just... The tone for the first couple episodes, it wasn't that bad. Like, even when a guy got cut in half, it was still pretty funny.
Yeah, it kind of goes like, Quentin Tarantino.
It's like, huh, dude. It's like, huh, do your ninja skills that you're talking to be cut in half? Wait, what? Oh, God, I've been cut in half!
Yeah, it
kind of goes
Quentin Tarantino at the end.
Or I guess what the guy is saying is like, cut in half I have been, oh God!
Yeah, it's...
That fucker.
Let's see, the body count includes the entire Manual Corps. seven of the 12 Deviant Blade wielders. Not counting the one who has been dead for centuries, and the autonomous blade that gets destroyed. Wait, because one of the blades is a robot.
What? Is it a robotic sword or a robot wielding a sword?
Both.
Is it a transformer?
Not really. It's sort of four kind of legs. And it kind of walks around like a spider, and it has four arms, each holding swords, and its legs kind of go and spin and does a helicopter thing.
So is it a sword with legs on it that wields swords?
It's like a doll.
Okay.
It looks like a doll.
It is to say, like, I was asking, like, is it a robotic sword or a robot who wields swords? You said both, so I was like, wait, what is it? So it's a robotic sword that wields swords?
But the entire device is a sword.
Yeah, it was just, the way you were describing it, I was seeing like a sword with legs coming out of the handhold thing, and then arms coming out of the blade, all of the arms wielding blades.
Yeah,
just looking real stupid. It just, that needs to be a shirt. A sword wielding swords.
Yeah.
Onsius, get on it.
But yeah, he goes on a rampage, murders everybody, some of the most brutal ways I've seen ever. Like, one of the swords is actually, I want to say 1,000 swords, and that's its special thing.
Wait, one sword is 1,000 swords?
Yes.
Does Cloud Strife wield at any point?
No. It is a woman.
Okay. Well, and could have been Cloud Strife.
Ouch.
Burn! Fuck you, Final Fantasy.
Anyway, you know, it's sort of used as a... You know, you have a ton of very quick attacks.
Oh.
Over and over again, and, you know, the blades stay sharp and whatnot. But basically... The first time he fights the original wielder, it's, you know, a tough fight, it happens, and he does end up killing her, which is, aww. But,
yeah.
The second time, when he's in the Shogun's castle, climbing the stairs, it's just, he kind of just walks in, and he runs into the room, and the swords just kind of get blown over like grass in the wind. And he literally punches a hole in her chest.
Oh, Christ.
Like, this is not exaggerating whatsoever.
Does he then, like, rip out her heart and set it on fire and go fatality?
No, he just kind of...
Fatality.
He goes, flies, splats on the wall, and he keeps going.
So is it, like, a hole, like, straight through her chest? Like you actually see his hand punching through her spinal column?
You don't really see the actual act happening. He... sort of does, it goes through his strike, and then she's kind of splatted on the wall with her chest kind of open. See internal organs or anything, but it's,
okay.
She's kind of on the wall, like
okay.
Up on the wall, like
yeah.
She hit the wall so hard that she's stuck there.
Yeah, if you're stuck on the wall, you're probably not going to live.
And... there were, two of the sword bearers live, one of which was one of the Shogun's retainers, but she gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. Because
she bounced. Yeah, she bounced off the wall.
No. The sword kind of. The sword is not. The sword that she had was not meant for combat.
I was making a joke, damn it.
I'm aware. I chose to ignore you. But yeah, it's an awesome sequence. Episode 12. Even if you watch nothing else, you get to see sort of the death sequence of Togame, and then his rampage through, and it is just so brilliantly brutal that it's just and his outfit that he wears throughout the whole thing is amazing too.
It's just aww.
Pretty much, because he
it's going on the Blu-ray set.
He takes Togame's cloak and stuff and her sort of rope belt things,
mm-hmm.
and wears those, and they're all basically dyed red. It's never expressly stated, but it's with her blood.
Okay.
And he just, well, he wrecks shit.
Yeah, I can see it. Like, it's the trailer for the Blu-ray. It's like quotes from a bunch of people. It's like Punch-O-Tron, Destro Prods.
It's like, aww. Basically.
Yeah. But they do it really out of context, so it sounds really disturbing. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, pretty much. That is exactly how I meant it, anyway.
Yeah.
Mean out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
I meant it as sexually as possible.
Destro Prods, fuck context.
But, you know, ending sequence awesome, but the reason some of the swords are the way they are, this is another major spoiler, is that the Shikizaki clan are apparently soothsayers.
Huh.
So they can see the future. And so what Shikizaki Kiki did was he used that to look into the future to glean weapon forging techniques.
Huh. That's
from the future.
That's actually pretty cool.
And that's how he made these swords so amazingly.
So what, he couldn't have made a missile?
Apparently not.
He couldn't have made the A-bomb?
Well, he didn't have the... He still had to make them in the...
So you can make plutonium, you can make fucking uranium in a sword forge.
But yeah, that's sort of the explanation.
Like, he could have just like gleamed future and looked up a YouTube video of how to make uranium in a sword forge.
You can't do that.
We can't, but how do you know he can't? You don't know.
It's like thermodynamically impossible.
He's fucking magic.
Only to see into the future, idiot.
Fuck you. Magic is magic.
Don't you know the rules?
Magic is magic. He could have looked further into the future to figure out how to do that.
But yeah, basically, this was a big Batman gambit to alter the future, it turns out that the story actually takes place during an alternate history of Japan.
Really?
As those who are familiar with Japanese history know that the ruling powers aren't the same there. And it's, you know, not just, what if this happened? It's literally in the story, this actually happened. And this guy went, hey, I'm gonna change the future of Japan, because he's trying to divert Japan away from basically the westernization that it faces in, I think it's the Showa era, which is basically the 1800s. So, you know, he's trying to keep Japan pure proactively.
Okay.
Diverting it from the path so they can fight off the Western invaders.
Okay.
But, yeah, it kind of... All of this kind of gets sprung on you in the last three or four episodes, which I think could have been done better. You don't really get a whole lot of hints throughout the rest of the series.
Okay.
But, which is unfortunate, I think that could have been handled better. The way it is, it kind of goes, hey, let's throw this in. But it still worked out pretty well. I like the Tarantino-esque ending.
Yeah, sounds like a cool ending.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I guess we recommend the series. You definitely check it out if you get the chance.
Yeah.
It's a Katanagatari.
Yes.
And it is definitely worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
But
all 12 hours of it.
Yeah, but people should know. The episodes are 50 minutes long, not the regular 20 whatever.
Yeah, they are hour long episodes.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind if you're going for a marathon. Or whatever. If you're just looking like, I have some time. I have some time. Might as well watch an episode. It's like I got 40 minutes before I gotta go. Might as well watch some anime. Oh god, it's not over yet. And I need to leave.
Yeah. So
keep that in mind.
Yeah. You know, the series is as long as a Lord of the Rings extended edition marathon.
So, bring liquids in a piss bucket. Yeah, so, Bovi, you're picking our next series. What's it going to be?
This is one that's not going to come nearly as highly recommended at the end. AKB0048.
So, yeah, you get all that? Remember, it's one that sounds like a serial number. Yeah, so, then, like I said, the anime club supplement for the first episode of Katanagatari should be up when this goes up. Then, on Friday, we'll be posting our commentary track for AVP, Alien vs. Predator, part of Dark Horse Month. Then we got the Anything Cast live on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern at allgames.com. You can join us at allgames.com/chat. Then, next Wednesday, we're going to be having the comic book podcast, as well as my new bi-weekly feature article, which will be coming up every week that Punchatron doesn't do Aimless Wanderings. Yeah. It's going to be called Personal Issues. Yeah. And then next Friday, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast, as well as the commentary track for The Mask, also part of Dark Horse Month. So be sure to join us for all that. But until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobulon.
And I'm Punchatron.
We'll see you guys next time.